genesis of the cocaine era in America long predates Operation Condor's official inception in 1976. It goes all the way back to January 1st, 1959 in Havana, Cuba, when the revolutionary forces of Fidel Castro seized total control of the island just 90 miles from the American coast. From the moment Castro took charge, American presidents wanted him gone, even if that meant assassinating him, which was a clear violation of the Geneva Convention. First it was President Eisenhower, then it was the Kennedy brothers.
Whatever his reasons, Castro stirs strong feelings of anger against the United States.
When JFK became president in 1960, John F. Kennedy is often lauded for his handling of the Cuban Missile Crisis, but you need to know that the missile crisis was in part precipitated by Kennedy's disastrous plan to have the CIA secretly train and support a ragtag bunch of Cuban exiles, just like the Nicaraguan Contras in the 1980s, in an invasion of Cuba. The Bay of Pigs, as it came to be known, was a debacle. About 1,500 Cuban exiles landed and began to fight, but it quickly became obvious to the rest of the world that the U.S. was supporting them. In embarrassment at the illegal action, the skittish President Kennedy pulled American military air support from his Cuban allies, and they were quickly defeated and imprisoned by Castro. Fending off the United States made Fidel tremendously popular and cemented the bonds between Cuba and the Soviet Union. For the next 30 years, American intelligence engaged in various conspiracies, even involving the U.S. Mafia to kill the cigar, his CIA nickname.
New Secretary Haggerty announces a break in diplomatic relations with Cuba.
There is a limit to what the United States in self-respect can endure. That limit has now been reached.
I am to this day absolutely convinced that we drove Fidel Castro into the arms of the Russian bear because he was frightened that we were going to murder him and destroy his new Cuba, and he was absolutely right.
They all failed. Over the last few years, the FBI and CIA have been releasing declassified documents that prove that these plots really did exist and they really did involve the mafia. As an interesting aside, Lee Harvey Oswald, JFK's assassin, was mixed up with the Cuban exile movement to overthrow Castro. He was even filmed passing out leaflets for the anti-Castro group Fair Play for Cuba by the FBI in New Orleans just a few months before he sniped Kennedy. This is important for our study here because of the tremendous involvement of the same Cubans trying to kill Castro in the South American drug smuggling business, protected, of course, like the Contras would be in the 80s by the Central Intelligence Agency.
By 1970, the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs realized that this Cuban connection was becoming the biggest drug importer into the United States of both cocaine and heroin.
June 21st, 1970, federal agents staged Operation Eagle, which they described at the time as the largest nationwide narcotics case in American history, arresting 135 people and seizing heroin and cocaine all across the U.S. Attorney General John Mitchell of Watergate fame was in charge of the operation. He said that the target was the largest ring of wholesalers in the United States, and they controlled 30% of all the heroin and 80% of all the cocaine sales in the United States. This was in 1970. Mr. Mitchell said that most of those arrested were Cuban refugees or Puerto Rican natives and that no mafia figures were involved.
And by 1972, 73, 74, this Cuban criminal organization that was working for the CIA and was given free passage to bring drugs into the United States.
By the early 80s, some researchers estimated that 3 out of 4 of the Cuban veterans of the Bay of Pigs who had made it back to Florida without being captured had been arrested or indicted on various criminal charges in the U.S., mostly for drug trafficking. Few of those Bay of Pigs veterans went to jail. In fact, more than 28,000 Cuban nationals convicted of felony crimes in the U.S. have not been deported back to Cuba since the early 60s. Of those, about 2,000 were involved in murders in Florida and other states, according to federal records.
The CIA operations against Castro and the Cubans, Faustian pact that the CIA had with Trafficante and his associates in the mafia, who were the ultimate recipients of the cocaine and distributors of it in the United States. And it's part of the same thing that's been going on since federal drug law enforcement was created and since the drug wars began. The government permits its allies to traffic, and it even provides them with protection through the CIA to bring their drugs into the country.
Perhaps the most important of these Bay of Pigs veterans was Felix Rodriguez, Ramon Millan's old crony, according to him.
Of all the figures to emerge from the Iran-Contra hearings, Felix Rodriguez remains the most shadowy. Rodriguez worked for the CIA in Vietnam and Latin America. At one point, he was assigned by the agency to assassinate Fidel Castro. His name continues to surface whenever anyone brings up allegations that seem to link George Bush to that illegal Contra operation. At the age of 48, a portly Felix Rodriguez is an unlikely figure to find still at the center of a shooting war. But that is where we found him. We rendezvoused with Rodriguez in El Salvador, where the Salvadorian army, backed by the U.S., is locked in a civil war against the communist rebels backed by Cuba.
CBS News has learned from drug enforcement officials that networks of other CIA veterans based in Miami have been actively involved in cocaine and marijuana smuggling for several years now.
And the ones that are really smart become CIA assets. That way they're protected. It's the best insurance. So that you get to run your organization and be protected. All you have to do is show that you can control the government or have government influence.
In a separate narcotics case in Florida, the crackdown involves defendants with old links to the Central Intelligence Agency.
One of the traffickers is a pillar of Miami's Cuban community. He spent more than 5 years with the CIA running operations in and out of Cuba to smuggling drugs from Latin America to southern Florida. The Miami police are in the process of arresting more than 50 people in one of the city's largest drug busts ever. It's a scheduled arrest of 7 men who police investigators say are veterans of the CIA's war on Cuba.
On all of these operations that they did in Cuba, they practiced them in the Florida Keys and then the coast of Florida first.
Rodriguez, by his and the U.S. government's own admission, was sent to Bolivia to aid in the hunt for Che Guevara. For those of you who only know of Che from t-shirts worn by rich capitalist celebrities, he was Fidel Castro's closest associate once upon a time. But not long after Fidel came to control Cuba, Che was deemed too radical for the revolution, and he spent the last part of his life moving around various third world countries, adventuring and trying to foment revolution. Felix Rodriguez was there when Che was executed, and rumors around Miami is that he kept one of Che's hands or several fingers as a trophy, which he would show off.
It was very challenging when they mentioned that Che Guevara was there. He was an assassin, he was an adventurer, he was an individual who had very little regard for life. He enjoyed killing people.
And we put it on the streets here, Philly, Charlotte, Greenville. We got a lot of money out of Greenville. A lot of money. I had the Muslim mob out of Philly. They was copping a lot. No, not the Philly Black Mafia. No, it was the Fruits of Islam and all them. It was the...
They were copping from you?
Right. At one time, they was copping from me, from Philly. In fact, the Philly guys was one-on-one. Sometimes would take my family when I was on the run up to Ann Arbor for me to see them. One of the Muslims was my best friend.
Was that like Sam Christian or Rob?
No, it was that group. He was in that group.
Somebody.
But I didn't want to miss no names, though. I don't know. Yeah. But he was in that group.
In 1979, the DEA compiled its first internal list of top 10 traffickers in all of North America. Only one African American was on that list. His name was Reginald Doc Davis of Detroit, Michigan.
The YBI, they used to bring us $1 million a week, and the ponies would bring $1 million a week.
The range of the Davis family's activities over 20 plus years that spanned from Thailand to Ghana to Jamaica to Culiacan, Sinaloa which is the home base, you probably know of El Chapo and the Sinaloa cartel, but they were doing it back when El Chapo was still just a poverty-stricken teenager. Reginald Davis would come from Detroit and fly his single propeller plane right into Culiacan in the mid-70s.
See, back then it was called Mexican Mud.